Jesus, so I really want to heal my daughter. So I, even though he get angry, I would ask him heal my daughter. Mm-hmm.
So how did you feel then when they came in and told you your daughter is dead?
Oh, so I was really disappointed. I am really sad. So I, at the time I was thinking that even though he is Jesus Christ, my daughter cannot alive. But miracle was occurred to me. Jesus arose my daughter, and now my daughter is alive.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jairus. So happy to have you here with us today. Jesus, I wanted to ask you a few questions also.
Yes, my son.
I want to focus on that story that we saw earlier about coming to the centurion's servant. When you were going about, what were you doing and what were you planning to do before the elders came and asked you to come and help this centurion's servant? Weren't you already very tired?
Yeah, I was very tired because I preached and worked all day but saved my people's spirit. That's why my first plan to visit my disciples' house and rest and have a prayer time. That is my first plan.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder because, many of us today, we read the Gospels, and we see there that you had a lot of conflict with the elders.
Yes.
But here the elders came. Why is it that you listened to them on this occasion?
Yeah, I have a lot of conflict with the elders because we have a lot of argument at the time because I teach them what true faith and love. But they are just a pretending legalist. They don't know what true love and the faith in God. Mm-hmm. That's why we have a lot of argument. But when they ask me to help, that is the like my teaching, how to love our neighbor. And they have a trusting to me that I have a power to can heal the centurion servants. Mm-hmm. That's how I answer their hurt of love and their trusting.
You know, many of us today, we get irritated when somebody interrupts our plans. Were you irritated by having your plans changed?
No. Yeah, first time my field is very tired, but now I'm very happy because I have a big confidence through big faith of the centurions. So God gave me a vision and dream for my future. So after my old children preach the gospel and have a faith like the centurion. So I really thank to God this experience.
Yeah, thank you. Let's thank our special guest today. In the passages that we have had portrayed for us, there's a thread that runs through those. There's a thread of Jesus caring for the people, even though there were hindrances. In the very first portrayal, we had the children coming to Jesus for to be blessed, and the disciples were the ones. No. Don't bother Jesus. Don't bother him. He's got so many important things that he should be doing. Don't bother Jesus. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And then we saw the centurion, and Jesus was so busy, as Jesus told us. You know, he was so busy and tired. But the people came, and the elders came and said, can you come and help? And Jesus said, yeah, I'll go and do that. And then the centurion said, don't bother Jesus anymore. Don't bother Jesus. Jesus, don't trouble yourself. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And then in the story of Jairus' daughter, the daughter was already dead. And the people came and said, don't bother Jesus. Don't bother him. There's no more need. She has died. But Jesus said, I'm coming anyway. And so we see this thread that it cost something for Jesus to come and be there with the people in their time of need. Often, I think, we must feel the same way that Jairus must have felt. Why bother? Why bother? It's finished. It seems that there's no more need to bother Jesus anymore. The problem is already there. But sometimes it seems futile to ask Jesus. Sometimes, you know, we've been, our theme these days is, do it again, Lord. Do it again. And we've been saying that how many months now? How many months have we been saying, Jesus, do it again? And has he? Jesus, what's going on? Why bother asking Jesus again? We've been asking month after month, week after week, Tuesday and Thursday after Tuesday and Thursday. Why bother Jesus? Sometimes we think, why bother? Because the world's just getting worse all the time. I don't know, do you read the news or watch the news, listen to the news? So many troubles in our world. It just seems like it's getting worse all the time. Why bother asking Jesus about these things? It's just getting worse all the time. Even while we're here at APNTS, maybe there's problems back home that you hear about. And there's so many troubles. Why bother Jesus with my little troubles here at APNTS? Or you spend so many hours studying and you ask Jesus to help you. And somehow it seems the grades never get better. I don't know if that's your experience, but maybe. And we come to this feeling, does Jesus even care? Why is Jesus silent these days? We sang the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's not lose hold of that truth. Though it seems sometimes so difficult, so hard to remain faithful and trusting and filled with hope. But Jesus is faithful. The same kind of care that he showed to the little children. The same kind of care that he showed to the centurion and the centurion's servant. The same kind of care that he showed to Jairus and Jairus' daughter. He still cares for us. And you know, there's an interesting piece here also, because they were bothering Jesus. They were so concerned about their problems that though there's risk, they said, I'm going to bother Jesus. Jesus still cares. Jesus didn't mind being troubled. Jesus didn't mind the problems that came because of these issues. So I charge you today, let us not grow weary in bringing our problems, our troubles, our concerns, our cares to Jesus. Jesus still cares for us. There's nothing too big for Jesus. There's nothing too small for Jesus. Sometimes we think, oh, that problem is so big. Jesus isn't big enough for that. Jesus isn't big enough for those big problems. But sometimes we think, ah, this is my little problem. I don't want to bother Jesus with this one. But Jesus still cares. But like Jesus, we also should care for others. I remember some years ago, Dr. Cunningham, who's in our midst today, was reminding the faculty about a very interesting quote that he had read from Henry Nouwen. I asked him to remind me, and he immediately replied, here it is, here's the quote from Henry Nouwen, Reaching Out, the Three Movements of the Spiritual Life. Nouwen said, while visiting the University of Notre Dame, where I had been a teacher for a few years, I met an older, experienced professor who had spent most of his life there. And while we strolled over the beautiful campus, he said with a certain melancholy in his voice, you know, my whole life I have been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted. Until I discovered that my interruptions were my work. Just like Jesus interrupted We don't know for sure what he was planning, but maybe he was needing a rest, or maybe he was going to pray. And the elders came and said, can you help? An interruption. But that was his work. The same with Jairus and Jairus' daughter. So we should care for those around us. We need to have open eyes to see how people around us are hurting. What is their moment of need? But sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy to care for people. It's our interruption, or even worse, maybe they are hard to deal with. I have a friend named Roger Shanels. He writes a devotional that he sends out by email on a regular basis. And the one that he just sent seems so poignant for what we're talking about today. Sometimes it's not easy, and people can be a pain. Roger Shanels says this, I've met people who seem like a block of ice. They are cold and hard and, well, not very huggable. How do you change someone like that? How do you melt a cold heart and warm up a frigid relationship? You can take a sledgehammer and smash the block of ice with condemnation. Stop being so cold. But all this does is shatter the ice. You can take a pick and jab at the block with criticism. That doesn't work either. Really, the best way to get rid of ice is to melt it. To change it from a glacier of grumpiness to a gurgling stream of goodwill. Consider the melting power of a warm and friendly disposition. Kind words and patience radiate a summery glow. Imparting rays of sunlight into one's life can change hardness to softness and coldness to warmth. And sometimes all it takes is raising the temperature by a single degree, one lifting comment, one thoughtful act, one gesture of goodwill. What a good word to remind us how we should care for others, even when they may not seem receptive to the care that we wish to give them. But it's not only a matter of allowing ourselves to be interrupted to care for other people's needs. We have one more scripture that we want to look at.